and we're heading down to Brookings. Paul Johnson. Good morning, Paul, the weed specialist at SDSU. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Well, did you get any of that snow yesterday, or did you miss it?
We kind of missed her yesterday. There was a few flakes going around kind of tempting us for a little bit there, but it never really got fired up, and we're pretty happy about that.
Yeah, I talked to Steve Sutera. They got about 12 inches. They got about over 24 inches down there, Paul, in the last two storms they got last week, so...
Wet. Yeah, that's no fun.
Well, Paul, I know before I get into some of the weed control and stuff, as far as your plots going in, are you going to get them in before on time?
Well, we got one started before it started snowing here a couple weeks ago down at Winter. We did get down there and got our pre-plants for Carinata put in, and so... We can say we're started in a way, but beyond that, we're going to try and sit down this afternoon and get everything laid out where it's going to go. So when this breaks, we're ready to roll.
Well, Carinata, are they doing some tests on that, or just weed control, or are they doing some variety tests, or just the weed control?
They'll be doing a little bit of both. Down at Winter, we're just doing a weed control test. I know John will be doing some variety testing, probably not quite as much as in the past, but we're continuing to look and improve the varieties on that and hope we get some that yield good in our areas here, and might be a possibility for a new crop for a few guys in the future.
Well, hopefully, I heard the contracts for that are pretty tough, aren't real good yet, so hopefully that'll come.
Well, yeah, and it's last year, we've got to get a few more things figured out here, and that's what we're working on, and that's why we're doing the research and not throwing her out to the public yet.
Well, how long is it going to be before you get up to Northeast Farm? We still got frost.
Well, I think we could get up there today, but I don't think we could do much that would do us any good up there. But I'm guessing we're going to be close to 1st of May before we see a lot of action happening. You know, we're going to have some areas in the state where they miss some of these snows and further west that will go for some small grain planting here in a week or so. But I'm guessing on this eastern part of the state, we're going to be close to the 1st of May before we're rolling.
Well, Paul, that's going to... Steve said he doesn't think there's going to be as much tillage down there this year because they're going to try to get it in. Are we going to be able to put on some of those pre's okay with not doing as much tillage?
Well, yeah, we can put the pre's on, but the thing we got to keep in mind is if there is any weeds up, some of those pre's don't do anything for controlling the emerged weeds, and so consequently on those, we're going to have to make sure we've got a burn down of some type and things that way. So we'll make sure we don't have any problem.
Do you think that's where some of these dicamba-tolerant beans might go on, where they may go out and spray early with dicamba to burn down and a little bit and then come in with those beans?
Yeah, that is a possibility, you know, just about everything. Once she warms up now, you know, if we think we got resistance to Roundup, we still got the paraquat out there, you know, that can do a good job on a burn down. And depending on, some of these products also have some pretty good burn down qualities. You know, we know atrazine, that's got kickback. You throw a little oil with that if there's some weeds up, and it's going to take them right down. And so it all depends on the program we're going, making sure we know that ahead of time so we're not held up when we get to that critical planting time.
Well, I think you want to make sure that you have an idea of what you have for weeds out there and what your chemical program is going to be, because you could get caught with just post, and sometimes that kind of gets stuff on you.
Yeah. Yeah, we want to make sure we're doing it right, and anytime, you know, I guess I just want to say to farmers, anytime we start doing shortcuts, we got to make sure that shortcut isn't going to hurt us long term. And if that shortcut is skipping tillage, well, then what other measures do we have to do to make sure that isn't hurting us? And not that I'm saying we shouldn't till or we should till. Either way is fine. We just got to make sure we have the practices for the type of operations we're doing.
Well, I would anticipate that if we get up to 60, that we're going to see some of these weeds shooting up pretty quick. But I think once we get going with all the moisture and we warm these temperatures up, everything's going to go, including all those noxious weeds in the ditches and so on.
Yeah. In fact, it might surprise you, Chuck, but I've been out in a couple areas, and there is some pennycress up already and some tansy mustard and a few things like that, those fall annuals. Depending on where you go, there's some fuzzy kochias already up. And so we can't assume that nothing is growing already, even though we've had a lot of snow.
Well, I was going to say, in some of these winter wheat fields, some of these winter annuals might be popping and probably outgrowing the wheat. It's going to outgrow the winter wheat.
Yeah, we're going to have to watch them as they come on. The other thing is, you know, our old menace is dandelion. I'm sure we could probably find a few of those alive somewhere, too, if we looked under the snowbank.
Well, I know, Paul, you've gotten all your information out that the herbicides, you still put your book. Do you have them in hardcover already out the extension offices?
Yes. We've got them pretty much at all the regional centers, and if they can't get it there, if they're looking for it, we do have them here at Brookings. We're hoping by the end of the year, our iGrow is going to be updated, and all of our plot data will be back on there, so people can look it up on there and search it by weed and crop and everything that way, too. We've got that in the process.
So they can't pull it off the Internet? No?
Not the plot data. Okay. They can pull all of the weed guides off, but the plot data isn't up right now.
Because I know those weed guides are always kind of interesting, very beneficial, because they could go on and pull right down on the computer and print off that page and have it handy.
Yep. You can print off, you know, the whole thing or a page or however you want, or just look at it on there. It's all free of charge and available to the public.
Well, I know, Paul, we're everything's behind, but as far as the weed control going in some of the ditches and pastures, noxious weeds, still same, pretty much same chemicals?
Yeah, not a lot of new things out there. You know, you're going to hear about the product called Method, which is aminocyclopyr, it doesn't have a haying or grazing label yet, so it really isn't much we can use. We're hoping that one gets it. You might have heard of it called Perspective in the past. That also had some Tellar in it, and they've taken the Tellar out, so we should have less grass injury. But again, until we get haying and grazing on that label, it's going to be pretty minimal of how we can use that product.
I've heard they still have some meetings going on for the dicamba recertification. Have you been to any, or you heard, have they been having good attendance?
Yeah, so far in the state, numbers I've seen, we've trained over 5,000 people on the dicamba meetings. I had to attend one just like anybody else, Chuck, order to make sure I'll be able to apply that later on this year. And so, if you haven't got it done, there are a couple of options now online available where you can go online and take the training. Probably not as fun as sitting down and going through it and being able to ask the questions. But if you miss that, there is still an option there to get you recertified.
Now,
get you certified in order to spray dicamba. And by spraying dicamba, I mean spraying dicamba over the top of soybeans. If you're just using it in your corn or your pasture, you don't need that training.
Okay, so just to use dicamba, you don't need it, but if you're putting over the top of the soybeans, then you have to have that training.
Right. The other thing is, all generic dicamba is now, as of the 1st of May, will be restricted use, just like atrazine or Tordon. So if you're spraying any type of dicamba, you will need to keep applicator records for 2 years, even if you're a farmer, and have them available. So if there's any problems later on in the year, they're available for Department of Ag to look at.
So if you go in to buy some dicamba, you better go in and get it with your license, because if you have somebody go in without a certification, you're not going to get it.
Right.
Okay. That's a little different. Do they send these names into Pier then, and they put it, attach it to your private applicator card, or what do they do?
Yes. Okay. They attach it to your private or your commercial, and it will be noted in Pier. And I guess I haven't seen how it comes out yet, but it will be able to be researched that, yes, you have taken that training.
Well, I wonder if they'll get the card back in time for them to buy some chemical.
Well, the thing is, even if they don't have the card, they're entering them on the computer database.
Okay.
And so a dealer would be able to look them up and see if they got that training almost immediately.
Okay. Well, I know you're going to be heading around doing a lot of stuff out there. Anything that we need to be concerned with as we move into this spring?
Well, I think, you know, we pretty much covered it, Chuck, is when we start doing any shortcuts or changes that way, we got to make sure that we're following up with other things that might be needed to be done later on. You know, the other thing I think both you and I know, you know, we talk about, well, it's delayed, but I think if you just go back to 2012 or 2013, one of those years, we weren't in the field until May 1 then either. And so it isn't like it's real critical that way. And, you know, old adage is if you're planting small grain, you know, if that's a crop and it's viable for you, if you can get it in the first week after it becomes fit, we've always seemed to had fairly good yields on it. It's just you don't want to be late in a year when you have the early ability to get out there.
And like I was saying earlier yesterday, is that you might, as you move in that first of May, you may want to increase the seeding rate a little bit. But many years, Mother Nature tells you you can't plant early, and sometimes she moves the whole season back a little bit. So I guess,
you know, I guess at this point, Chuck, I guess if I'm going to say one thing, I wouldn't be changing cropping plans yet at this point. I would be just more making sure I'm ready to go and having everything ready that way, because we've got quite a ways yet before we have to consider changing those crops due to those situations. Now, if you want to change crops because you think you can make some more money the other way, fine. That's a whole different scenario, but changing on account of weather, I wouldn't be looking at that until we get a ways into May.
Yeah. The other thing, Paul, is, I lost my train of thought. But, anything else besides, I know what it was. If somebody's going in with some cover crops, are they going to have to be aware of what they put on?
Yeah, cover crops, you know, a lot of those have restrictions on them. Depending on if you're using any products that do have residual, a lot of them will have a statement on how long before you can plant certain crops, and cover crops usually come under other, and so a lot of times they're listed at 18 months or so, and consequently doesn't mean you couldn't plant a cover crop, but it means you wouldn't be able to hay or graze it or anything that way. And you are taking the chance that it may not grow even. I know our system, Garrett Schaefer, got a grant, and they're going to be doing a lot of studies on seeing what we can use and still grow the cover crop, but you still won't be able to graze it.
Well, if you're talking 18 months, you better plan a couple years ahead then.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Paul, thanks for joining us. Good luck on getting that research in and research plots. You'll have some research plot tours this summer. Will that be delayed a little bit too?
No, we're not planning on it. I think we have them late enough this year. You know, we're getting pretty well established in that, and we'll be in good shape. In fact, the Northeast Farm One is already set for July 12th.
Okay.
Evening of July 12th. It's a Thursday evening, and we've kind of got those established that they're going to be the second weekend July now, because the 4th of July kept screwing things up on how we did them and whatever, and people weren't for sure. So we moved that back to the 13th, and in our planning-wise, and I think we should be in pretty good shape to do a tour at that time.
All right. Well, Paul, thanks for joining me. I know you're going to be busy as soon as that weather clears up like everybody else. So have a good spring, and we'll talk to you later, Paul.
Okay.
And that's Paul Johnson, the weed specialist.